Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up today, and I hope you enjoy the show. This morning I've got an Oregon Gold Country legend for you. It might or might not be true, but it's certainly been told around more than one Oregon prospector's campfire. It's the legend of the solid gold snuff can. Is there anything to it, the story of the Native American man who came out of the woods every few years with a snuff can full of gold dust? Well, maybe so. But then again, maybe not. This story was first published on January 25th, 2010. Here we go. The Cascade Mountains of Oregon are gold country for sure. But the Mackenzie River Valley area is not exactly its hottest area for prospectors. Which is why I tend to think the legend Don Churchill told me about may have some truth to it. Like many longtime Oregonians, Don is a consummate rockhound. He's got a shed full of old lapidary equipment and slabs of stuff like volcanic hailstones and thunder eggs and moss agate, which he's collected over the years, and of course, he's spent some time looking for gold as well. Now, those of you who know your gold country legends will probably recognize the story he told me. I've heard and read about it in a couple of other places as well, down Jacksonville way, for instance, or out in northeast Oregon, but this may be the original. The story dates back to the 1920s and 1930s, before World War II. The way Don tells it, for many years a Native American man was a regular visitor to the Deerhorn Ranch up the Mackenzie. He would drive up the river in his old Ford Model T and spend the night there. The next morning he would hike into the mountains. He'd be gone till around dusk. But when he came back, he'd be carrying a snuff can, the round kind like Copenhagen comes in, a snuff can packed with gold dust. The next morning, back down Highway 126 he would go. The can of gold would last him usually 2 to 3 years. After that, he'd drive his Model T back up and do it again. Naturally, this attracted some attention from folks who would have liked to use a kindergartner's euphemism, share the gold with him. Many times, people tried to follow him into the mountains. Each time, he slipped away and came back with his can of gold. Then, without fanfare, he simply stopped coming. No one knew if he died or depleted his cash or what, but no one ever figured out where the gold was coming from. In other places, there would be a very likely and somewhat boring explanation. This Native American would have been an old miner, working in a commercial gold mine, who had managed to smuggle some dust out of the mine each day, perhaps in a special hollow in his pick, maybe in his shoes or underwear or somewhere else, and had cached it somewhere for later retrieval. The fact that it was always gold dust, an eminently smuggleable form of the stuff, kind of supports this theory. But there were no working commercial gold mining operations up the Mackenzie, and if there were known sources of loose gold, that is gold dust, up the Mackenzie, I haven't been able to learn about them. Another possibility would be that a prospector had struck it rich up there somewhere, and then, before he could bring his findings to market, something had happened to him. Perhaps then the Native American stumbled across his remains along with his gold. Or perhaps this is just another gold country legend, augmented with a few specific facts to make it play better around a campfire late at night. True or not, it's a great story, and it's fun to think about the possibilities. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do this for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations. But if you enjoy Offbeat Oregon History and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee you'll enjoy the book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and they're available at community bookstores, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, Drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee maybe and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Until then, go ahead and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.